Our next presenter is Dr. Amber McCoig. Dr. McCoig is a Senior Veterinary Medical Officer at the Center for Veterinary Medicine of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Dr. McCoig earned a Bachelor of Science and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine from the University of Missouri and a Master's in Public Health from Johns Hopkins University with a focus on public health policy communication. Dr. McCoig will be discussing products for NWS treatment, review of the FDA approval process, the definition of the product category, and requirements for use in swine. Dr. McCoy, it's all yours.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to go through a little bit more of the boring aspect of this. I don't have good pictures or anything like you just saw, but we'll try and get through it as quickly as possible. You can go to the next slide. So we will be just going through kind of what the drug approval process is overall. We have some new regulatory pathways to get animal products into the marketplace more quickly to address things like screwworm, and this is the first time we've been able to use some of those pathways. I'm going to briefly discuss some food safety issues and antiparasitic resistance. Next slide. So, what do we do at the US FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine? We're kind of what we call the little FDA. We do a little bit of all of the human centers in FDA, but for animals. So, we have animal drug and devices, we review animal drugs. Pre-approval side on devices, that's going to be on the post-approval side. We also have a human and animal food safety aspect, and we regulate animal biotechnologies. So our motto is to protect human and animal health. Next slide. And so we just went through a really good overview of screwworm and what we're facing here in the US now. Something that is important to remember when this threat reemerged in Mexico a year ago. And when we started to look at how we were going to handle it, there were no drugs that were labeled for the treatment of New World screwworm. So we worked with our federal partners in order to try to get some things available. And we actually worked ahead of time and were able to have 10 products that had labeled indications for New World screwworm when it actually reemerged in the United States. Next slide. So our responsibility is to work closely with the partners that I discussed. We work with CDC, EPA, USDA, Fish and Wildlife. We are also working very closely with the different states. So obviously, Texas is the big one that we have been working with over the last year. And we help to facilitate the development of animal drugs. So we can only review products that are brought to us. So the sponsors have to actually come to us with the product, with the data for us to review. We cannot develop our own data, unfortunately, but we did do a search. We looked for what products were available in other countries, and we did reach out to some different sponsors to see if they might be interested in taking advantage of some of the new regulatory pathways that we had. And so this would be emergency use authorization. We also were able to use conditional approval. And then there are other pathways like extra label use of products and our priority zoonotic animal drug program that I'm going to go over. Next slide. So our approach was to address any knowledge gaps that we had. And we really tried to do this before screwworm had reemerged in the United States. So we reviewed foreign markets and looked at what was being used and what was working, and we reviewed some drugs that were approved for other indications that may also be applicable for New World screwworm. We did literature reviews, and the most important part, we engaged with sponsors. Next slide, please. And there's a lot of information here. You can just have it for later. I'm going to go into all of these things in more detail, but the important thing to know is we have several different regulatory pathways, and those pathways have different criteria in order to get products into the marketplace. So there is a different evidentiary standard, but also they have different time lengths that they are able to be marketed, and some of them have to provide data while they're marketing. So I'll go through that in the next few slides. Next slide. So first of all, the different approval types and authorizations that we have used to address New World screwworm. Obviously, we have full approval, but we do not currently have any products with a full approval that are label indicated for New World screwworm. So the indications that we have right now for New World screwworm are under conditional approval, and emergency use authorization. So these can all be marketed. They could be prescription, they could be over the counter. We don't currently have any veterinary feed directives for New World screwworm, but it is possible if it were to fit all of the criteria. And I'm going to go through the different durations of these approvals and authorizations, the effectiveness standards, and what we do for target animal safety. Next slide, please. So if you look here, this compares the three main ways that you can use New World screwworm products in the US. So with our full approval, you do have the option of extra label use under AMDUCA. And so these approvals have been out there, and there's no time limitation. They're going to continue to be marketed until the company decides for some reason to withdraw if they do so. And so with our full approval, we are going to evaluate it for safety, effectiveness, and manufacturing. And so with this, you have to have a substantial evidence of effectiveness before the approval takes place. And this gives us a high confidence that the drug is going to have the effect that it claims on the label. With conditional approvals, this is a procedure that we have had for several years. Generally, we do this for minor use and minor species. It's a temporary type of approval, so it can be used up to 5 years. And what happens is you provide the data for safety and some effectiveness data, but for some reason or another, you can't have the effectiveness data available right away, usually because you have small focus groups that you can get the data from. We allow that effectiveness data to be collected for 5 years after while the product's being marketed. So we have a reasonable expectation that it's effective, but the sponsor is allowed to continue to collect that data while they market the product. And the difference between conditional approval and full approval, in addition to like the duration that it's going to be marketed, is also conditional approval cannot have extra label use. So only full approved products can have extra label use. So then this is a new one for us. Emergency use authorization was something that a lot of people remember was used during COVID for people, but this is the first time we were able to use this for animals. So we have some prescription and some over-the-counter products that FDA has assessed. And the difference in the evidentiary standard is that we're looking at things that may be effective. So we don't have that same level of reasonable expectation or substantial evidence, but we have found that it may be effective. And we do the same safety evaluation to make sure that it can go out there in a product. And obviously, for human food safety, there is an extra evaluation for those products that are approved for food-producing animals. And the duration for a emergency use authorization is just during the time of a public health emergency declaration. So we were able to do this because there was a public health emergency declared in the United States for New World screwworm. So that allowed us to enact emergency use authorization for animals. Next slide, please. And these are the products that we have been able to authorize to date for New World screwworm. And as you can see, there are two there in red that have been authorized for use in swine. So we have Negasent, which is a combination product. It has Cumafos, Propoxir, and sulfanilamide, and it's a powder that goes into a wound for prevention and treatment of miasis. And this has limited distribution. So because of a neurotoxicity concern, PPE is required, and there are also some limitations on how many times someone can administer this product. But through employees with the federal, state, local government, and tribal governments, people can have access to this product. When it is used, there is a 28-day withdrawal in swine. So the other product that we have available is Dectomax, and this is an over-the-counter product, and it treats multiple species, including swine. For swine, it is for prevention of miasis, and this is an injectable product, but it's available over the counter, and this has a 24-day withdrawal time in swine. Next slide, please. So only the conditional approved product and EUA products are specifically labeled for New World screwworm. So if you have a product that is an EUA and it is labeled for cattle, But it's not labeled for swine. It cannot be used in different species. So this can be confusing, but the EUA and the conditional approval products can only be used as the label indicates. So it's important to understand that for the products that we just saw on the last slide, only those two products can be used to prevent or treat New World screwworm in swine. Obviously, there are the approved products, and those can be used under our extra label use provisions with a veterinarian's involvement. Next slide, please. And when you look at the products that we have authorized, we have some different indications, and the difference is going to be how long they are active or whether or not they're immediately effective or not. So for treatment of miasis, this is when you have live larvae on the host, and it's going to be immediately active. So when you apply something that is labeled for treatment of miasis, it's either going to kill the larvae or it's going to expose them. So they will fall off of the animal, potentially dead or alive. For prevention of miasis, this is something that's going to be a little bit longer acting. So this is used while a wound is healing. It prevents the larva from taking hold within that wound that you have. So this is something that would be used when you do any procedures that could lead to a wound that could potentially then be infected. Then we have, this is going to have a persistent effectiveness period, so it's a longer time frame. So it's going to stop the miasis from reestablishing in animals that are susceptible, and that can last for several days. Next slide, please. So with food safety concerns, again, we do a human food safety evaluation when we have these authorizations come out, and we provide the withdrawal times for those. If you're using a product that is going to be extra label, there are specific provisions for food producing animals in 21 CFR 530, and that goes over how a veterinarian needs to have a valid veterinary patient client relationship, how they need to establish an extended scientifically based withdrawal time, and be involved with that farmer if they have any concerns after the animal has been treated. Next slide, please. So some of the things that we are concerned about, antiparasitic resistance is a concern just on a good day, but even in the face of New World screwworm and having to use the same types of antiparasitics that we use for other products that are already, we're seeing some antiparasitic resistance. It's important to find something and to use a product that has some known efficacy. That way we're using it judiciously and not leading to increased resistance in things. So this is why it is really important to reach for something that has been authorized and has been shown to have some effectiveness in New World screwworm, especially while we are treating animals in the US. We do not have any medicated feeds currently for the prevention or treatment of New World screwworm. We have been collaborating with Texas and USDA. We're doing some feed trials for cattle and for deer, but at this time we do not have any information. And another important thing to remember is that the other countries that have been dealing with New World screwworm for much longer than we have, they also do not have any. So it's very difficult to be able to get a medicated feed to get the blood levels to the point where they are high enough consistently across the herd. And so this is something that we're looking into, but so far we have not seen any evidence that this has worked. And then obviously we defer to APHIS on the drug-related movement restrictions for this. When there is a requirement for prevention and treatment, this is something that veterinarians just need to work with people to figure out what the correct product for that situation is going to be for the animal. Next slide, please. And we are still looking into those data gaps. Like I said, we've been working with Texas and USDA. We want to find other things that have duration of use indication. We have been rolling out different products just to make sure that we have all of the species covered, that we have different ways of administration covered. We want to have systemic products as well as products that can be used to treat wounds. And so, as fast as they are coming at us, we have been reviewing them. Like I said, we were able to get 10 products out within a year of us starting the EUA process. And so for us, that's a new thing. And it's, if you understand how we normally do our approval process, that is extremely fast. So we are doing everything that we can to try to meet the needs that we know are out there. Next slide, please. And here are some resources. And the picture that's in the middle, I think, is incredibly helpful because it can kind of show you the different products that we have online so far. And being able to just see what animals each product is approved for can be helpful also. So I recommend that. And if you have any questions, I will be here. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. McCoy.